we go. Tom, right there. You where you are, you know who you are. You're right, just at MyNorthWest.com. Text as well at 98973. Come on in through the state roofing text line. All are welcome. Teeny tiny lady in the pickle jar will be in here at around 5 o'clock. She helped Jacob choose the letter of the day. We are all ready to have it. Protests broke out last night in Minneapolis again. A 22-year-old man pulled over by the police. Apparently, he had it expired tags, and they also said something about the rearview mirror had an air freshener hanging from it or something. They get the guy, they pull him out of the car, or he gets out of the car voluntarily. They also find out that he's got a warrant for his arrest because I think it was about, was it in June of 2020, he had a gun and had fled police then. The video has now been released, which is pretty fast, don't you think, Tom? I guess they try to get it out there as quickly as possible so people see it. And you see the one male cop has got the guy, the 22-year-old, against the car, and he's getting his right hand to come back. It looks like he's struggling a little bit with his handcuffs, the policeman is. So the female police officer comes forward. She places her left hand on and around the elbow of the 22-year-old. And at that point, I think the policeman, the larger guy, lets go. And I think at that point, this guy who's run from the police before decides, I'm doing it again. I do not want to go to jail for a weapons charge and fleeing police with the warrant that's out, gets in his car. And that's the resisting the arrest, get in the car. And at that point, we have the sound of... Here it is. So now what you have is, what you'll hear is, we just played this in the national news, just had this for you as well. So you can hear a little bit of the beginning of it, the body camera of the shooting of the young man by the police officer who was struggling to get control. You can barely hear, she goes, he's got a warrant. Okay. So they know that he has a warrant out for his arrest. They also know about the gun. So I'm assuming they're treating this guy cautiously, as they probably would all. At that point, he's resisting arrest. He's sort of struggling to get back into the car again. And then you hear the female officer yell out, I'll tase you, and is per the training that the gun weighs about 34 ounces. A taser weighs about 8. The taser is normally in your weaker hand, so your right, if you're right-handed, you're going to, on your holster will be your right hand. As you pull that gun out, you'll know that is about 34 pounds in my hand. I've got this gun. It's in my right side. Police often will wear on their left side their weaker hand, their taser, and as you pull that out, it's about 8 ounces. So there's a difference. You feel it. She says, I'll tase you. She's got her police... weapon in her hand, and you can hear taser, taser. They say taser, taser, taser 3 times to let her partner know that she's about to tase the guy so he doesn't step in front and get tased as well. So she's following along with that. And then that
I shot him.
Oh, wow.
Yes.
Discharges the weapon once. Guy gets in the car, drives a short distance. His girlfriend or whatever is in the car with him, partner's in the car with him. He then crashes into another car, and I assume at that point he is about to die or has already passed, and they take him to the hospital, and there we go. Have I missed anything on that one?
Just one slight correction. He was 20. Not 22, 20. Okay. And the warrant was for a missed court appearance. The court appearance was for 2 misdemeanor charges, one of carrying a pistol without a permit, and the other one is that he ran away from officers last June. But no, otherwise, I think that's exactly right. Now, there's some question, was it an accident or not? The police chief seems to think that based on what we saw and the officer's reaction right after she discharged a weapon, that it was an accident, that she... acted like it's been, oh my God, I shot him. And so he's calling it an accident. I think that there, if you want to put a negative spin on it, you could say, well, that's an easy excuse or justification for killing somebody. But I think it seems like if she's yelling taser, taser, that she thought that she was going to tase him. I can't imagine in that circumstance where you would be so duplicitous that you would say, okay, I'm going to say this and do that. So I just think, a common sense attitude toward that was it was an accident. Now, that's why I thought it was. I asked you earlier, John, with all of your police context, doesn't a cop know the difference between holding a gun and holding a taser? I don't know what the difference is. That is interesting. If there's that big a discrepancy, what could she have been thinking to think that that taser wasn't a taser but a gun if it's more than four times as heavy? Now, let's assume that it is an accident.
I'll say this. Here we have somebody who has already gotten away from police one other time, and they also know there's a warrant out for his arrest, and they also know that he had a gun. That's what they know. Hold on. That's what they know.
I don't know.
They also know he's getting back into his...
Yes.
Well, if there's a warrant out for his arrest, they'll know what the arrest was for. They'll know fleeing police, and they also know about gun, because that's how it's public. So when they called him in, that's what they got on the guy. There's a warrant for him. As he's getting back in his car, very, very, very dangerous situation.
Okay.
Very dangerous situation for these police. When the person's going back into their car, what are they going back into the car to get?
Okay.
Are they getting – so he's struggling to get away. He's getting back into his car. So now she's going to tase him in order to try to control this person. It's very scary. So she taser, and shoots him with a gun instead of the taser. I think this has happened before in the news a couple of years ago. We might have covered something like this. And this is what happens, right? So these are human beings in a highly stressful situation.
I know.
And she shoots him instead of tases him.
But she's in. Okay, so that's that. I assume that no one thinks that tasing him at that point is a mistake, but shooting him is a mistake.
Yes.
And so it seems to me, as good-hearted as we can imagine this cop being, as with all the right motivations and everything else, you can't afford to make this kind of mistake in that profession. It's like an airline, pilot who can't crash the plane. That even if she didn't plan on what she was doing, this seems to me like a fireable offense. You've killed somebody.
Oh, yeah.
Sure, it was a mistake and you didn't intend it, but it's fireable, correct?
Yeah, right. Well, listen, point of it is she could have shot him, right? In most cases, what you'll do is you'll hear the officer go, gun, 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 right? They'll yell out, gun, gun. So that one of them has seen a gun, and then it's like, then they shoot him, right?
She
doesn't see the gun. They don't see they see his hands, tase him to control him, which is what she's trying to do. He's resisting arrest. And then at that point, you resist arrest, a whole lot of bad crap can happen.
But not
Eric Gardner. George Floyd, right?
Yeah.
The poor guy that was in the Wendy's parking lot down there in Atlanta, same thing. Mm-hmm. Once it becomes this sort of free-for-all of where I'm struggling with you and you're trying to get away and I'm trying to stop you and who knows what happens next, then bad, bad, bad things. You're taking it up to a whole other level.
Yes.
There was the story in Minneapolis where the woman complains about something happening outside. The two cops show up to her door or outside in that parking lot, and the officer gets scared thinking that she's made an abrupt noise or something. Remember that story? And then he fires at her from his police car, from the passenger side of the car, strikes and kills the woman. He, I think, was in for third degree. It might be manslaughter, and that's one of the cases from Minneapolis from a couple years ago. Do you remember that story?
Not specifically. I'm not denying it. I don't remember that specifically.
Okay.
But yes, the problem is that these kinds of things can't happen. And I couldn't tell when you're saying, well, it was an accident, if that's like, well, accidents happen. But accidents can't be allowed to happen with such fatal consequences. The question is, will there be more to come? I'm assuming there'll be a civil suit. The city may have to. This is in Minneapolis, by the way. It's a suburb of Minneapolis, about a 10-minute drive away, I think, from the trial in Brooklyn Center, Minnesota. But, God, just awful. Which then leads perfectly into our next case, unless you're not done.
No, we got it right here. So
okay, about another guy.
It's just like, Another guy. This is in Virginia. Yes. And let's keep in mind, police make 35 million traffic stops a year. In this case, the guy's driving, the back window is tinted, and I think they can't see. There's no license plate, but he's just previously bought the thing, so he's got one of those temporary tags. He doesn't find a safe place to pull over, so he drives about a mile with his blinker on.
Open the door slowly and get out! Get out of the car! Now! Open the door! Get out of the car!
Both officers have weapons drawn. They don't know why the guy drove for a mile and a half. He pulls over. He stops. He doesn't get out. He's got you can see his hands, and they continue to tell him to get out of the car.
Keep your hands outside the window. Keep your hands outside the window. Get out of the car now.
Get out of the car.
Now. Get out of the car now. Yo, what? Guess what? I'm a veteran, too. I don't know. Obey. Get out of the car.
What's going on?
Get out of the car now!
What's going on?
What's going on? You're fixing to ride the lightning, son. Get out of the car now!
All right. The one cop yelling, get out of the car now, fixing to ride the lightning. People say, oh, that means he's going to try to kill him. Other people said, no, that means taser. In this case, he then pulls out because the guy still won't get out of the car. They reach in, try to grab his hand and get him out. He then sprays him in the face with mace. And then they finally get him out of the car. They're wrestling back and forth. He wants to know why he's being stopped. And they're going to get him
for
resisting arrest or... Well,
he gives himself up. He does not get out of the car. He refuses to get out of the car.
Does he lay down on the ground, or they push him down on the ground?
Yes.
And then he won't go down. So the guy tries to move and kick out the back of his knee. Right.
Yeah.
And then finally they get him down onto the ground. And now the cop that shot the guy with the mace in the face ends up losing his job. Right.
Yes. But not
he gets fired immediately.
This is different from what we just talked about in that. This happened a few weeks ago, and there was a police investigation. This guy who was pulled from the car, he's a active duty lieutenant, I think. He has just filed suit, but in the course of the investigation, the police determined that the cop who sprayed him with pepper spray, was not, following policy, and so he has been fired. The frustration that the cop felt about him not getting out of the car. I mean, they're stopped in a well-lit place at a gas station, which is where the guy, drove intentionally. Mm-hmm. And was just saying, what have I done? I haven't done anything. And he says, just get out of the car. And he says, no, tell me what I'm doing. So he did not follow directions. And the sense is, because I watched the whole five minute, 50 second thing. It looked to me like the cop who had the gun pulled on him, but then he shot him with pepper spray. I think he just got frustrated. Like after 4 minutes of this, to heck with you, and he sprays him, and that's where he made the mistake. He should not have done that. And then they ended up letting him go. There was for no good reason that they pulled him over.
Yeah.
But again, you never know, and so that's why the cops reacted the way they did. And he admitted, the guy in the car said, I'm scared to get out. I don't try. I got two, guns pulled on me. I don't feel safe with you guys. So he didn't want to get out. Anyway, that thing was resolved. So that's our second example of a traffic stop gone differently than the first one. And now we have a third one that's even.
Well, I would say that from what I know from talking to cops and you've watched this sort of stuff and they're trained on this, the less compliant the person is. In that case, you assume something's going wrong. Like, why a mile and a half down the road? Why not pull over? Yeah. What is going on inside that car which you can't see through the window? So they're assuming something is wrong. Something's not right. Your adrenaline level gets up. And then all of a sudden, that's when stuff can start to happen. In this case, 38-year-old officer has been serving in the state police since 2015. Three children and one on the way.
So I can run my checks and I can talk to you a little bit while I'm running my checks. And then
this is different.
Yeah, this is in New Mexico.
He's talking
to the guy. He's on the passenger side, and the driver is, and I think there's somebody in the passenger side. He's talking to the driver.
I got paperwork I got to do. Hey, real quick. You have fire money? Yeah.
By the way, he has been talking to this guy for about 3 minutes on the side of the road,
right,
trying to get this and that, proof of insurance, registration.
Yeah.
I need you just to sit in my car for just a moment. I'm going to run a check just to make sure things are okay. He's perfectly polite to this guy, and then yep. he notices, hey, do you have a gun? You know,
you mind if I take it off you for my safety? All right, hold on.
At this point, the driver begins to get out of the car. The police officer still on the other side, the passenger side, and begins to walk around back to the back of the car. Right. And the guy gets out of the car with the gun. And then officer, yeah, it's an AR-15.
All right. Let's go to my vehicle, okay? Come on.
The guy that shoots him, I think 4 or 5 times, then goes over and shoots him point blank and ends his life. So that's the father of 3 with 1 more on the way on the side of the road, killed in cold blood. So that's what happens on these traffic stops, right?
Yeah. Yeah, and it was a great illustration. If you watch the whole thing, again, it's about another 5.5 minutes. It's friendly. The conversation goes back and forth. There's no sense of anything going on. It was a stunner to be watching it. I even knew what was going to happen, and I couldn't believe when the guy, he just gets out of the car very calmly and then, you know, raises the rifle and just starts, you know, shooting him. It's like completely unexpected, and it cost the cop his life. Yes.
Hmm. We'll see.
They did catch up with the guy later, just so you know. It was a big shootout with like 3 or 4 other cops, and he was killed. But yeah.
Tonight, I don't know, it's a state of emergency again in Minneapolis for the peaceful protests that will burn and loot.
Yes, I'm not sure. I don't know that it might be in Brooklyn Center where that shooting was, not Minneapolis. I'm not sure in that, though. Don't quote me. We'll have to double check that. But I think there's a curfew in Brooklyn Center.
Tracy Taylor? I like the music underneath for those reeds now, Tom. That's good, yeah. Sean. Nice.
Yeah, thanks, guys. Really tried my best.
And now watch this. Watch this transition right into Rachel Bell and Michael Supersino. You'll see there on Fridays with all of her cats in the parking lot because they don't let her in anymore because all the cats went to Pizza Pizza and ate all the pizza. But don't let that stop you from going to Muckleshoot Casino. Muckleshoot Casino, the biggest and best in the Northwest.
Hello. You know what? I love my song, but if I was going to have a different song, which do not take my song away, I am jealous now that Tom got Whitney Houston. I want to dance with someone. That's a jam.
How about that, Tom?
I know. I'm finally somebody.
Yes. And all it took was Whitney Houston.
Arbelle, are you going to get on the radio and tell people how to parent their kids?
Yes, it's my favorite topic because, as I've said many times before, the one thing that parents love is when people with no children tell them how to be a better parent. But I think that this one is pretty legit. I think that I can have an opinion that spanking your kid is not good. And it's not just my opinion. It's science. So there was a story in The Washington Post entitled "Americans Are Still Spanking Their Kids. A New Study Shows How Harmful It Is." So as recently as the 90s, there was still debate about whether or not spanking was so bad. And one of the things that parents, presumably the spankers, couldn't let go of was, well, you say there are behavioral problems that result from spanking, but how do we know that's actually from the spanking? Maybe I just have a bad kid is basically what their argument is. So there's been hundreds of research studies since then, so many so that now the American Academy of Pediatrics issued a new policy statement saying that parents should not use physical punishment. And this is because, and it's not just the spanking, but it's also verbal berating and humiliation of a child has been repeatedly linked to behavioral, emotional, psychological, and academic problems. So what they did to try and prove this, to show those parents that they are the ones making their kids have problems, that their kids are not born bad, is they use twins, which, according to a couple of the researchers in this article, is a pretty common way to be able to compare because they share the same DNA. So what they did was they didn't get into details. I'm hoping they didn't say, okay, parents of twins, smack one kid and don't smack the other. But what they said was that the twin who was spanked or who was berated more, basically treated worse by their parents, did have lingering problems, that they didn't do as well in school. They had emotional problems. And they said that it just happened one after the other after the other. And so this is a new study done out of the University of Texas that was published in Psychological Science. So they analyzed more than 1,000 pairs of twins to do this. And the result is, do not smack your kid. Just one more thing before I let you guys talk. I'm looking for my number here. I thought this was crazy. In 2018, the General Social Survey found that 66% of Americans agreed that, quote, a good hard spanking is sometimes necessary to discipline a child. You both have kids. Are you spankers or not?
Definitely not. John?
Definitely.
I thought that.
Definitely. Yeah.
I knew that you were each going to say that.
Yeah. Never okay. Spanked Rye. Never spanked Rye, but spanked Charlie.
Okay. And so could you notice a difference? Like, this is your study, your twins' study.
They're 10 and a half months apart. Charlie was obstinate and wouldn't listen. And it wasn't like I went to the open hand right away. And it was a smack to the bottom to get attention. And, you know, I've seen the studies as well. They said it actually has an effect upon the size of the brain and stress things and all that other. But, you know, you would say something, ask, you try to ration with them, but then you realize, you know, just to get their attention, pop, little slap on the bottom, and, you know, that's what you do. Apparently, that's enough to get you in jail nowadays. Rye was always like, just never had to deal with a roller, but Chucky got it. But not like my dad. My dad used to bare bottom over the bed with a belt. So that was a different time.
I got spanked, too. I don't remember getting spanked as much as I remember running around the house covering my bum when my mom chased me with a wooden spoon. And I don't even know if she even used it every time, but it was the fear. But what I see now with my friends who are parents who are doing a really, really good job of it is there's so much more empathy, and it just takes a lot more time. I have to say, I think spanking is lazy. And I understand that you're saying they wouldn't listen. But what I see from parents now who take a lot of time is to do this. I understand what you're feeling, this empathy, because when kids are small, they just can't express how they feel. And sometimes the way that they're acting is a result of them, you know, feeling like they're not being heard or they're frustrated or they're tired, all of these different things. And if they're young enough, I mean, I don't think you should ever hit a toddler. How would a toddler ever know what they're supposed to be doing? I mean, all you're doing is making your kid afraid of you. And I just don't think that that's the way to continue raising a child. You will never have the bond that you should have if you are a mean person who physically strikes your child.
Here's my critique or problem with the study. And I'm assuming that there are enough academic and scientific controls that maybe the article didn't have a chance to get into. But it seems to me they say, okay, so you've got twins, and this twin we disciplined hard, and this twin we didn't discipline hard, and the one we didn't discipline hard did much better than the one we disciplined hard. However, it seems to me, and I'm all for anything that can prove that spanking is bad, I'm all for. But just the scientific rigor, it just feels like if you're the same parent, you've got twins, why isn't it that the one twin isn't acting as well as the other twin? And in other words, you are disciplining that twin harder because that twin is more resistant to whatever you think the kids should be doing. And if that's the case, then it does come from the genetic distinction. If you've got two people, I always think twins are fascinating to study, but if you have two twins, I bet you have one that's like the goody two shoes and one that's the rebel. I mean, or however, one's the smart one, one's the cute one. It just, when you've got two people, it's so easy to compare. One's the tall one, one's the small one, that it's hard to then prove that, that parent was unnecessarily hard on that one. Maybe that other one, in effect, in the parent's eyes, had it coming. That's all I'm saying.
But of course, even if the child is naughty, that doesn't mean they deserve to be physically.
No, but hit, to prove to prove that you coddle both of them, they'll do better. You know, that's to me, it feels like it's insufficient science. Hit me, hit one more time. Oh, jeez.
That's nice. By the way, but Rachel, you turned out okay. Your mom chased you around the room with a wooden spoon.
Yeah, but I don't have a great relationship with my parents, and maybe it's because of that. So, you know, if your parents hit
you. Well, let's explore tomorrow what else could be causing the problem.
Can we have therapy tomorrow on the air, please?
Yes.
Tom has the most beautiful relationship with his adult daughters that I've ever witnessed myself, and he didn't spank. So I think there's something to it.
Too late, can't turn back the clock. But you can go to Makushu Casino.
Do you think tomorrow on the air we could do a live adoption and Tom becomes my father?
Yes. Solve all your problems.
Sean will play inappropriate music underneath. All right. Tracy Taylor, look at traffic. Thanks for the applause. I know it's going to be a big celebration, the Bald Spot Gone celebration. All righty. You're writing to us at MyNorthwest.com. Text as well at 98973. All are welcome. And rolling in, you see Rachel taking a couple of shots at those that are out there spanking, Tom. Probably everybody that was involved in this event. This is street racers that flipped over a car and then shot the flipped over car with fireworks. Most likely, they were twins, and one of them was spanked, and one of them was not.
The one driving the car was spanked. He's the bad boy.
Here we go. Cairo 7.
Yeah, we got
the owner of the car apparently requested the car be flipped over.
I'm reading all these reports of people saying that we were saying attack the guy. We forced him out of his car and everything. And no one was forced out of their car. He drove that car to the intersection and got out. He put it there on purpose.
Okay, what does that mean? He got in the intersection.
Okay, so
he got out. He wanted the guy. He wanted the people to flip over his car.
That is so. If we don't have any other audio setting it up, so there it looked like there was typical street racing. There was a bunch of people in the middle of an intersection. He was spinning his car. He then stopped the car and got out. So there's a woman up in an apartment filming this whole thing. It's just, oh my God, it's so dangerous. And then for some reason, she says they turned on one of the racers and they attacked him, pulled him out of the car, and then flipped his car over. And so that's the version. And then there's this huge fireworks explosion around the car. So anyway, that looked like, oh my God, this is hell on the streets of the University District in Seattle. And then Cairo TV got a source who said, No. You guys are misreading the entire thing. It actually was set up. It was designed as a stunt. The guy wanted his car flipped over. He was doing it for some kind of social media thing. And so the fireworks were actually part of the fun display.
Yeah. Yeah. When
that
you
he was
flip
doing,
the car so. Over, you right. When you flip it over, you have people shoot fireworks at it. That's part of it.
Actually, it was a pretty cool effect. It looked like the fireworks were actually coming from the car. It was shooting up from the flipped over car. In fact, I don't know if people remember the Seattle Art Museum used to have an exhibit of a car flipping over, and they had like 10 different, the same car, 10. That's what it kind of looked like with the sparks, you know, flying out. It was a pretty spectacular event. But it sounds like it was
what
all state.
Doesn't
make
it
any less
dangerous. What kind of car was it? Was it easy to flip over? You had to get like 15 guys rocking it back and forth and then
go?
Yeah,
I mean, they had a bunch of guys. It's the camera work looks like from maybe the 10th or 12th floor of an apartment building. So you're kind of far away from it. But I'm sure somebody who knows cars can probably figure it out.
So as a movie reviewer, it's been a while since you've done a movie review. Why don't you review that one, Tom? It was shot from the 10th floor.
Yeah. What's nice about it is it's kind of like that Japanese classic Rashomon, where everything happens depending on your point of view. So from the woman up in the apartment, it looked like this was, you know, a hellscape of urban violence. But when from the ground, it actually was an explosion of youthful energy and vitality.
How many tangs you give it?
I give it 3 out of 4 tangs.
Okay, good. There you go. So you kind of lost your touch, Tom. Good
it's
job.
It's been a while. Oh, yeah, John. In fact, we didn't mention this.
Yes.
We took advantage of your absence on Thursday to talk about the Seattle International Film Festival. It was opening night that night.
Oh,
we're
good.
In the midst of it this week, and a lot of great movies on tap.
Ah, oh, good. I'm glad I wasn't there for any of that. All right,
I'm
Tracy,
sure.
Take a look at traffic for us.